Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I remember, I don't remember her name. I don't remember her name, but I do remember visiting her. And I came into the nursing home. I remember signing the book. And you had to sign her name too, but I don't remember the name. But I remember the conversation. And it was very inspiring. And I shared it with the choir already a couple Sundays back. I don't know if I shared it with you. Maybe you were listening in when I talked about the conversation. So when I came in, I said, hello. And then she said, amen. And then I said, I want to share with you some scripture. And she said, amen. And then after that, I'd say, share some news about what was going on in church. And she said, amen. And then I said, I'm going to share with you the Lord's Prayer. And she said, amen. And after I finished the Lord's Prayer, she said, amen. Amen. And then I gave a blessing to her. And after that, she said,
amen.
And I said, God be with you until we meet again. And she said,
amen.
That's all she said. And I had no idea that that would be my last conversation with her. But that's what I remember. The amen. This is most certainly true. Whatever I shared with her, she was in agreement. Amen to that, Pastor. You know, that's all she had to say. Amen. And of course, it's in the scripture of Revelation. The angels, they said, amen. The first word, where is this scripture? I'm looking for it. Here it is. Amen. And then blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen in the beginning and amen at the end. I actually memorized that verse. I just forgot the word amen before and the amen after. Now I'm going to make a mental note of that and put that in as a reminder that this is most certainly true. God gives us all good things because of his love for you and his love for me and his love for all his saints. Let the church say,
amen.
Oh, you're really clued into that. I'm grateful I started out that way. Benny Bulge, a pillar of the church I retired from St. David's in Philadelphia. She passed away this year. Because of COVID-19, there was no funeral service. But she did leave an impression on me because of her faith active in works. She was the church secretary, and she volunteered for that position. And they gave it to her, gladly and joyfully. They love volunteers that are willing to be the secretary of the church. That was a long time ago. And she volunteered to be the church organist. Oh, she says it was a scary thing to be a church organist because you don't know if the people are going to be with you on the notes.
Amen.
See? Scary. It's a scary thing. But she persevered and she did it. And everybody thanked her for volunteering to be the church organist. She was about the woman of the LCW. She was involved in the prayer group, and that's when I really got to know her more intimately. And she loved the prayers that I would teach them. I taught them a Quaker prayer, which was a quicker prayer than before we eat. And so I think I shared this with you. For us. God bless.
God bless.
Amen. Even though it took a month for the prayer group to memorize that prayer, I was willing to give them instruction until they got it back. It was so short, you know, you're like, what did I say? It's so short, I don't remember. But she gave me this prayer that was on her bureau, and she would say it every morning, maybe every night too, but I think it was a morning prayer. It could be an everyday prayer. Let's just put it that way. And so this is what she passed on to me, and I still have it in her handwriting. Lord, I confess I am not what I ought to be, but I thank you, Lord, that I am not what I used to be. Amen. I like to make progress in my faith and in my love for God and my love for God's people and love for God's creation. Russell, a colleague of mine, from when I first started out in the ministry, we would come together and study the scriptures and think of ideas that we could share for sermon material. And for some reason, he said in the Old Testament, in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, is the only place that mentions we are saved by faith. We are saved by faith in God. That's our righteousness. This is what the scripture says. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by faith. Now, I must have read that a couple of times, and I've studied that a couple, but when he said it in the group, it stuck in my head. Chapter 2, verse 4, the righteous shall live by faith. And Luther has a comment on that verse. He commented on a lot of scripture and a lot of verses more than once. But this is what he had to say about this verse. Let's see if I can find it. I wrote it down on the next page. Here it is. The godly people are waiting for the Lord. Therefore, they live. Therefore, they are saved. Therefore, they receive what has been promised. They receive it by faith, because they give glory to the God of truth. Because they hold the hand of the Lord. Powerful. It's a way of showing that you and I, who live by faith, that gives us righteousness in the presence of God, because our faith rests on God, who has given us His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So that's why I remember Russ in giving me that verse. Where Jesus is, there is hope for the faithful. Where Jesus is, there is hope for the faithful. The Beatitudes speak about hope. When Jesus is on that mountainside speaking the words to those, in whatever situation they find themselves in at that moment, Jesus offers words of hope. We stand on the shoulders of saints and martyrs and beloved friends and family who have died, who for us have demonstrated the blessedness of those Jesus names in His Beatitudes. In my devotional that I read this morning, God notices our pain and patiently coaxes our hearts open to receive God's healing love. God sees us exactly as we are, in our grief and longing, and gently blesses us with the resurrection promises of comfort and hope. A saint is never consciously a saint. A saint is consciously dependent on God. Now, I didn't come up with that. That was from Oswald Chambers. It's one of those devotion books that I read, and I says, oh, that's a jewel for All Saints Sunday. You can use that on any Sunday if you want. But saints that are dependent, consciously dependent on God. Pass it on. That's what I thought it should be, the sermon title, because I received a lot of my nurturing and my understanding, my faith from my parents and grandparents and Sunday school teachers, the members of Grace. church that taught me about God's love and mercy and grace and truth. And that continues even up to this very day, as each day that God gives me breath. Pass it on. From his daughter, Linda, Dan Reardon said, "Less is more. You do not have to say a lot to get your point across. Less talk and more to the point." That's what I remember Linda saying. That was passed on to her from her dad, besides some other interesting stories. From listening to her family, Jean Brock was very active in the food pantry here at Grace. It was like a mission. It was something to feed that hungry in our community and provide food for the children. When she had to leave in this community and go to another community, she sought out another food pantry and immediately went to work and offered her support to feed the hungry there. Nobody was going to be hungry wherever she was. They were going to be full of the generosity of God's goodness. Mary Fisher, I don't know her, but our church secretary does. Diana said, well, she was involved in the St. Stephen's ministry, along with others from Grace, and she was involved in bringing that message of God to those that she would meet and greet along the way. She also loved camping. And I'm going to do her funeral service here at Grace, November 5th, privately for her family. And because she loved camping, they said in lieu of flowers, offer gifts and donations to the National Forestry, the parks. Yeah, it'll be mentioned. Is it mentioned in the little booklet? Oh, great. Yes, well, the word will get out in the newsletter for sure.
It's on the website and sales.
Oh, it's good. It's on the website. It's good to have you up front. We work together in the office about this distance, you know. This is good. This is good, Diana. Let's see. I've written a lot of stuff, and then I crossed out a lot of stuff. So I don't want to say everything here. I just want to say the main points. So, Pastor Muhlenberg, the first pastor in our new country, at his gravesite, said the words were written, "Who and what he was, future ages will know without a stone." So in other words, his life and his ministry was passed on through his journaling and through others who received his pastoral care. Berthold von Schenck wrote on this All Saints, and I'm just going to share a small portion of his sermon. "When we are bereft of dear ones, it's a tremendous shock. For a time we are stunned. Not everyone can feel at once their continuing companionship. We should not, for that reason, despair. An adjustment must take place in our lives, reaching deep into our habits, emotions, and thoughts. Some souls may make this adjustment quickly. For most of us, it comes slowly and hard. Many an hour is filled with loneliness and agonizing doubt. By ourselves, we can never make this adjustment. We must come to a sense of the continuing presence of our loved ones. And we can do this if we realize the presence of the Living One, the Living Lord. As we seek and find our risen Lord, we shall find our dear departed. They are with Him, and we find the reality of their continued life through Him. The saints are a part of the church. We worship with them. They worship the risen Christ face to face, while we worship the same risen Christ under the veil of bread and wine. the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember that German proverb that I said to you in English? Those who love the Lord never see each other for the last time. I shared that with Dot, I shared it with you, and I shared it with others because I believe this to be true. We are meant to be together in the Lord forever. I used to go to a church called Community Church of Joy in Arizona, and he had a blessing that he would give after his church services. And I tweaked it a little bit, and then I memorized it. But knowing that my memory isn't always that sharp, I have it written down. Let's see, here it is. Our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, go with you. Go ahead of you to show you the way. Go beside you to be your best friend. Go above you to watch over you. And be within you, to fill you with lasting peace, unconditional love, and uncontainable joy. One of the songs I used to sing, I don't know all the words, but it's very simple. God be with you till we meet again. Ah, bells are ringing, that's a sign. Now the peace which passes understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Let the church say,
Amen.